with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the...
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. St. Patty's Day is coming up. We covered a little bit of corned beef brisket. Whether you boil it, whether you pressure cook it, whether you smoke it, you got to do it. It's that time of year. But we're bouncing all over today. And thanks for riding along.
This is a cleanup show.
Right. Yeah, right.
Didn't we cover in the last month?
Right. We don't clean up like this very often. So
we should, though, because it seems like we pass over some nuggets from time to time that, you know, I personally do a decent amount of work to try and find, and then they drift off to the side.
Yeah, well.
So it's kind of nice to be able to use
chicken nuggets are good. We talked about those.
Don't get me going.
Anyway, what else you got, man? You got minestrone?
Well, yeah. You know, we've had a lot of sick people lately. People getting the crud and all this stuff. I mean, kids, grandkids, my wife.
You got temperatures changing 50 degrees in one day. That'll lock your sinuses down good.
Well, right. We've had a bunch of... I haven't gotten anything, but there's a lot of reasons for these things, but the consequences are people get sick, and you want to try and give them some nourishment that's good. And when I hear people are sick, I immediately revert back to what my mother used to do, and she'd always make soup. And when you're sick, having a nice warm cup of broth of some sort is just, it's like soul food. It's healing. It's so good for you. And so my daughter, Maggie, and her family were all getting colds, basically. And I felt kind of bad. My wife was gone, and I wanted to do something. And then the other side of town in East Town, Jordan and his family were all getting sick. And it's like, so I'm like running back and forth between two houses trying to bring food, because when you're sick and you got little kids, you also don't feel like cooking. So I thought, okay, one of the things, I flipped out a menu and I said, you can have this, 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 or this. And they're all saying, no, Dad, don't worry. You're doing too much. No, I said, no, I'm going to make something. Pick. So Maggie goes, minestrone. She picked the minestrone out of the list. And it's like, good. You know why? I've never made minestrone before.
I have neither.
Do you like it?
I don't make it that often. I don't dislike it. It's not something that I make very often.
But you know who used to do a great job with it? Who would you say does a great minestrone, Conrad?
I don't know.
Olive Garden?
Ugh. No, I steer away from national chains.
But when they came out, that was the, for us as a young family, that was the place to bring your kids.
Yeah.
Because you could get a soup and salad for like, I don't know, it was like $6 or $7, and all the breadsticks you can eat, and all this, they'd keep bringing soups to you. And they had the pasta fagioli, which was really good. It was like an Italian chili with noodles. And they had minestrone, which was really a good minestrone. And I believe that was a Pillsbury company that owned them at the time, but it was a successful chain. I don't know that they're even around.
The free bread from the Doughboy.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to make some minestrone, never made it. And I had to do a deep dive on it and say, what's really in it? And like I do with any recipe, I steal from those who have already perfected it.
Right. No originals, right?
Well,
you can take one and doctor it a little bit.
See, I'd prefer, you know, Pietro's or Salvatore's, you know, something like that. Salvatore's.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just going down memory lane to 20, 30 years ago as to maybe the first time I ever heard of minestrone. We're Northern Europeans. We're not Italians. That wasn't in our vernacular.
Or vernacular, as it may be.
Yeah. So I started doing a deep dive on it, and I stole from this, stole from that, and I came up with my version of the way I remembered a good cup of minestrone to be. And it's posted on the Grilling Guys, but in honor of my daughter Maggie, I used red onion because she loves red onion, carrots, celery, and here was a cool thing I had never tried with soup. The one called, and most of them called for, pancetta.
That's like Italian, really thin shaved ham.
No, it's
ham.
Really thick cut chopped bacon.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So, and you have to. So, so it made me kind of sick to think about throwing that in a soup. So then I looked at another recipe and it said, if you want, you can brown the pancetta before you put it. It's like, good, because I already bought it and I don't want to throw this, these chunks of bacon in a soup. It's going to, you know, texture is going to be weird. So I did that and, I browned the pancetta. And it calls for pumpkin squash, butternut squash, all these things. And you're only going to use a cup and a half, right? And it's like, I'm not going to buy a whole big squash because I'm not a squash freak. But my wife, I did roast a bunch of pumpkins this year, and she processed all that pumpkin into jars.
Chunks of it or pureed?
I baked it, and then she processed it in a food processor and canned it. So I dumped in a jar of that pumpkin sauce, and it doesn't have any pie spice in it. It's just pumpkin. So it's a puree.
That had to make your soup consistency pretty different. Isn't minestrone usually a broth-based soup?
And that's what these recipes were asking for, the squash force, because to thicken it. So I'm telling you, the profiles came out beautiful. And this is all a timing thing. So I sautéed the onions, threw in the carrots and potatoes, and more tomatoes than any of the recipes asked for because I just felt like it needed it. And so I got all that going, and I cooked it to the point to where the pancetta had enriched the broth and the pumpkin was doing its thing. And then I started dumping in a few fresh vegetables. Like, it calls for Savoy cabbage. I had never even heard of it, let alone bought one.
Right. I'm back to what the thing is that the pumpkin's doing. You said the pumpkin was doing its thing, so.
Yeah. Because the squash, they're calling for squash.
Well, pumpkin is a squash.
Yeah.
Right. So what was it? What is its thing? It was thickening? Is that?
It adds to the profile.
Okay.
These are all, you're building flavor profiles, and the squash is part of it, and it does thicken it a little bit. I only put in 16 ounces, so it wasn't like, you know, I turned it into paste. It was, makes it a little bit gravy-ish maybe or something, but
yeah.
I'm telling you, so I added the cabbage, and then I put in some of the leaves from the celery, and I put in, at the last minute, some lentils, because they were already in a can, they were cooked, so I didn't want them to get mushy, and I threw a couple sprigs of rosemary on top, and I just shut it off and parked it.
No pasta?
No.
No pasta in
it. I did the pasta on the side.
Oh, okay.
And because my daughter can't have, she's
okay.
intolerant to
pasta.
You know, wheat, what do you call it when they're?
Yeah, wheat germ.
Gluten?
Gluten, yeah. She doesn't react so well to gluten. So I bought a bunch of these gluten-free noodles, and I cooked them up separate, and I did the kitchen trick where you put oil on them and put them in a bag and got them ready. So I said, you can add these noodles at the last minute, because when you have a nice soup like this and you're going to reheat it, if you put the pasta in too early, it's going to just swell up, and it's not going to be pasta. It's going to be like the gelatinous mess I'm trying to avoid. So I brought all those noodles in. On the side, and my granddaughter heated the soup up and the noodles and served her sick mother. It was so cute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What are microwaves for?
So I brought it in a great big pot. So yeah. So a little tip there, when you do pasta in anything, you don't want to add it necessarily if you're going to store it. And these chefs online will tell you the same thing. If you're making a big batch of it, don't add your pasta.
Yep.
Because they've already ruined many batches.
There you go. That's how it works. Well, that's minestrone. That's the longest minestrone explanation I've heard. We used a whole segment for that. That's awesome.
Well, it's technique.
Yeah?
And you're putting these things in stages so that the vegetables like the cabbage and these
things.
Don't
you have little potatoes in those too?
Yes, there's potatoes. Yep.
In there?
It's all in the potatoes, carrots, celery, the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, it seems like the minestrone. Is there any meat in it?
Pancetta.
Just that?
Well, no, I added actually some, that's another conversation.
Oh,
Jeez, for a different show.
Right. Yeah. Guess what? If you listen next week, we'll continue the minestrone conversation.
Oh,
probably not.
Man.
But anyway, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. It is the grilling, guys. We didn't grill much today, but you know what? Sometimes that doesn't happen. We just talk about whatever it is we want to talk about. So go to our website, thegrillingguys.com. Lots of recipes, all the old shows.
You can learn how to make minestrone.
Right. Yeah, it's right there. Believe it or not, if you couldn't write all that down in the dust on your dash, then go to the website and get it.
See ya.